Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. So as we look at that video, it kind of reminds us that we are in a duty, right? That we have a mission. I would suggest and I believe that the answers to all the questions about the battleship as it representing Emmanuel, the answer would be yes. We're not perfect, but we are on a great mission. We have great leadership. We're doing great service to our community and to each other. And that's kind of our focus. As we look at today's reading from Thessalonians, Paul was writing to a group that was very similar to us. It was a group of believers, a group of faithful people waiting for Jesus' return. As we look at that time, we see that most people thought that Jesus would be back after his resurrection within 50-100 years at the most, right? So the Thessalonians were anticipating, wondering, making sure that they were prepared. And that's kind of what we're looking at today. What does that look like for us? So as we go through this, we're at the end of the church year. The church year is set up. We go through different seasons, just as we saw the video with the cruise ship and the battleship. We have seasons in life, right, where we sometimes are cruising and sometimes we're in battle, and sometimes maybe it's a mixture of both. But as we go through it, we see that God is with us. So that's kind of what we're going to take a look at, that we have a vocation and we are to be vigilant and dutiful. So again, as this church year is ending, we are preparing and looking at the thought of Jesus' second coming. It says the day of the Lord, which is another way of looking at judgment day. And we're going to look at it as Paul writes it from two different perspectives. We're going to look at it from the perspective of unbelievers and the perspective of believers and see what that day means for both. If you're following along with the sermon notes, we have a summary of kind of what I'll be discussing from 1 Thessalonians 5, 8-11. But since we belong to the day, let us be sober, putting on faith and love as a breastplate and the hope of salvation as a helmet. For God did not appoint us to suffer wrath, but to receive salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ. He died for us so that whether we are awake or asleep, we may live together with him. Therefore, encourage one another and build each other up, just as, in fact, you are doing. So if you're like me, and I'm guessing that in some ways you are, I tend to focus on the here and now, right? The problems that I'm facing or going through, struggles, good things, joys as well. It's kind of this immediate presence as opposed to the long term, the then and there, if you will. As I do that, my focus shifts from different things that are close and occasionally goes out to the future and looking at what's coming. It's always good to prepare for things, have things like insurance, right, or to have plans for retirement or for children's education and things like that. So we do look into the future, but we have a tendency to live in the here and now. So as we do that, as like all people before us, we want to kind of see what does that look like and what does that look like from God's perspective, and then kind of reflect on that. How's that going for us today? So again, as we look at this first section, the day of the Lord is coming. We're looking at Jesus' second coming when he comes back on Judgment Day and kind of what are the ramifications of that. Again, Paul is writing, the great day of the Lord is near, near and coming, quickly, like a thief in the night. I've taught Revelation in different Bible classes, and a lot of people are always wondering, what are the end times like? What's going to happen? How will I know to be prepared? And the simple answer is we'll never know for sure until it happens. As we look at Revelation, John has this vision and it leads us through what things will be like in the end times. And one of the things that we'll see that people are surprised when it comes back, when Jesus comes back. But other things to be aware of, although it'll be a time of judgment for believers, it'll be a time for restoration. Right? When Adam and Eve sinned, when sin came into creation, it corrupted it. It's not what God intended. And when Jesus comes again, all of that gets taken care of. There's a new creation, a new heaven, and a new earth. As we look at this restoration, will apply to all believers. It will be a great day for us. It's something that we anticipate and look forward to. Also, God has consecrated those whom he loves. Right? So, consecrated means set apart for a purpose, sort of like sanctified or holy. We are set aside to serve God, to bring glory to His name, to live our faith in a way that draws people to Him and also ministers to the needs of the people around us, especially our family. So as we look at this, we have this vocation. We have this calling. A vocation, again, is what we were made to do. God designed each of us a little bit differently. We have different gifts and abilities, whether they're physical or spiritual, as opposed to our occupation, which is what we were paid to do. So if we're truly blessed, we see that our occupation and our vocation are aligned, that the things we were made to do are the things that we're doing. So that's kind of how we look at it. This is a blessing that God has consecrated us and loved us and sent His Son for us. So as we progress, we see, but what about those people who don't believe in Jesus or don't believe in God or reject Jesus as their Savior? It says they will be caught off guard because of their indifference to God. They will be shocked. So another word for indifference is complacency, right? We have this understanding that God is here. If you read the Screwtape letters, the thought is that God is far away. He's not near us, right? There is a God, but He doesn't really care. He's somewhere out there, not something that we have to be concerned with. Obviously, that is not the case. As we look at how this affects us, again, we've seen and heard in previous sermons about how our attitudes affect our behaviors. Right? If our attitude is God is distant, or if our attitude is God doesn't care, that will certainly affect how we behave. So we have to kind of be on guard for that as well. The other challenge is we want to be comfortable, right? We want to be comfortable. We think about it in our retirement, our day-to-day life. Comfort doesn't always go hand in hand with service or mission. There are things that make us uncomfortable but actually help us to grow, right? As you're going through school, PE or classes or tests may not seem like good things at the time, but combined and over time, they help us to grow in different ways. It says they will be seeking peace and safety and wrongly believing that they have already obtained it. Again, in Revelation, if you look through it, we have the false prophet who comes and kind of unites all the nations, right? They all get together, and they get together for peace. And they do that in a way because they think that physical peace and security is the ultimate thing to have. And they give up some of their rights and privileges and some of their faith to try and accomplish that. As we look at our world today, we see there's a lot of conflict and battle and a lot of discrepancies and challenges. And we look at it sure would be nice if, right, if it was peaceful, if there wasn't war, if there wasn't conflict, if there weren't struggles within our societies. But again, we're sinful human beings, and that day just won't exist until Jesus comes again. So we have to kind of be aware of that. So I'm not suggesting that we don't plan for the future, that we don't try to keep secure homes and things like that. And just so you know, I know there's an awareness that there have been churches where shootings have occurred, and as our leadership is looking, we're looking into how can we be safer. Right? And there are some things that we can do, but there's really nothing that we could do other than having armed guards everywhere to keep us completely safe and secure. But we are looking at ways to be better and more vigilant in that area. So as we look through this, this is kind of our thinking. It will be a time for those folks that will be too late to change. Right? When Jesus comes again, if you don't believe at that point in time, there's no second chance, no go-around, no do-it-easy button, that you might see from Staples or anything like that. There's no mulligans or do-overs. So that's the challenge, and that's part of the motivation that we have for our mission for Jesus Christ, right? I would guess that all of us have at least either a near or distant family member who doesn't believe, good friends that we know that don't have faith, co-workers that are unbelievers, neighbors who may have never heard of Jesus Christ, right? So that's our opportunity to live out our mission, is to just live our faith, be ready for questions that they might have, and continue to pray and minister for them. So all of this is God's plan. If that's what we're thinking in terms of the unbelievers, what about us as believers? These are the ones who believe in Christ. As Craig read, we are people of the day and the light. We have one person that's in the spotlight there from the sunlight coming in, but it's a great thing, right? we have light. We can see each other. If we were to turn off all the lights and block out all the glass, it would be dark in here. We would be indistinguishable. There would be nothing distinct about us in terms of appearance. But in the light, I can see all of you. I can see all the different attributes that you have, all, in some cases, gifts that you have in terms of strength, appearance, mind, etc. So we see things that in the light that obviously people in the dark don't see. So this thought of being in the light obviously is reinforced. Jesus said what? I am the light of the world, right? And that's distinct from darkness. Again, in our reading, we see some things that happen at night. Typically, there's more crime at night. There's more challenges with inebriation at night. There's this thought that at night there isn't the light to be discovered kind of thing. As people of the light, we try to live our lives in a way that people see the good things, the good aspects of faith. But as sinful human beings, we don't always do that. Another area where I think some of you are like me is as hard as we struggle not to sin, we still sin, right? The best section that describes this is, again, Paul, right? The good that I want to do, I don't do. The bad things I don't want to do, that's what I do all the time. The frustration that brings. But that also leads us to what? Our need for a Savior. The recognition of what Jesus Christ did on the cross for each of us. That through our faith, each of us have salvation, but we also have fellowship with each other and with Him. So that's the joy that we live with, right? So other things to be aware of, we will not experience God's wrath. We are destined for salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ. You know, it's a struggle if you're in a real battle because you don't know how it's going to turn out. It could be a battle of warfare or conflict, or it could be a battle or struggle that you're going through at some point in your life. We can't see into the future. We have an ideal way that this will turn out, this struggle, but it may or may not actually turn out that way. So as we look through all of this, we see that we have a chain of command, right? So as soldiers have a chain of command, we have initially God's word. That's the closest chain of command. If I'm not certain about God's plan for my life, I read through God's word and I can see what His guidance is. We have the Holy Spirit built into us, right? Through baptism, through our faith. If we listen, we can hear the guidance of the Holy Spirit. We have the love of Jesus Christ and the salvation that He brings. That's what we cling to. That's the hope that we live by. And most of all, we have God's love. The God who created the universe just by speaking it. And He loves each and every one of us and sent His Son for all people on the earth. But it's only effective for those who have faith in Jesus Christ as their Savior. So all of this is what we're looking at. Again, we know that the main battle is not what's going on now. The main battle was Jesus on the cross. It was Him versus Satan. And Jesus' resurrection and ascension in heaven sealed that win. We see in Revelation the final battle, Armageddon. We see that Jesus wins, that God is sovereign over everything. Right? So as we look at this, how are we to live? What is our response? How do we act as soldiers of the cross? If I were to ask you, what is your strategy to resist sin, to resist temptation? The first thing you would probably consider is, do I have a strategy? If I have a strategy, how effective is it? And what does it consist of? So as we think through it, some things would be, well, prayer. I pray, right, when I'm feeling tempted or if I'm in a struggle. Or I search God's word. I talk with other people to get their counsel. I seek guidance from the Holy Spirit and from God. I turn my attention from the thing that I might be tempted by to something else. I don't focus on it. So there's lots of different things, but we have to have some idea. We have to know who the enemy is, right? So Crystal Lake, in this area, we've got a good football team, right? They're playing really well. So imagine you're on that football team, and you have the big game is coming up, and you don't know who your enemy is. You know the team name, but you don't know anything about them. You don't know what their strengths are. You don't know what their weaknesses are, who their good players are, things you might be able to use against them. Is that an advantage or a disadvantage? I would suggest a disadvantage, right? If you don't know your opponent, it's very difficult to understand how to defend yourself or to run an offense. Similarly, we need to know who our enemy is. We also need to know who is on our side. So again, through God's word, we have that knowledge. Other things that we see, we're not supposed to live in this spiritual kind of malaise or laziness, but with alertness and soberness. The reading that we heard was talking about too much wine, getting drunk. So that's one aspect of being sober. Another aspect of being sober is being alert, having a clear mind, clear thinking. So that's the way we're supposed to live our life, is not to live as a victim, but as a victor, that we are prepared, that we do our best job. We may not always succeed, but we know that we at least try. You know, one strategy is not to flee from Satan, but to resist Satan, right? There's a difference there. One is passive, one is active. One is active and one is reactive. So again, as we look at this, we see God's guidance playing out. How do we prepare? You know, how do we live our life that way? Again, I was in the Navy for a while. I was on an aircraft carrier, and we would do different kinds of drills. And the drill I liked the least was the NBC attack. And it wasn't the network, nothing to do with that. But nuclear, biological, or chemical, right? This is dangerous stuff. This is stuff that you can survive the initial attack but still have problems. And ships are set up with ways. They have ways to wash down the surfaces of the ship. But there's certain orders, there's certain things, there's certain precautions, certain apparel that you have to wear depending on which kind of attack this is. And I didn't like the drills because sometimes they'd be in the middle of the night while you're trying to sleep. Sometimes they were in the daytime. They'd just say, battle stations. They'd give you an idea of what kind of drill it is, and you would have to go from wherever you are, day or night, into that place you're supposed to be and be ready to do what you're supposed to do. We have a school here, right? And we have fire drills to prepare in case, God forbid, that we would ever have a serious fire here. Sometimes those are planned, right? So we know they're coming, and sometimes the planned ones are announced, and sometimes they're not. So you don't necessarily know, if you're not expecting a fire drill, if it's real or not. So you have to practice, get prepared for a bad situation to get through it safely. So as we look at our lives, this preparation, as we heard last week, right? The sermon last week was be prepared. This is part of our duty as Christian soldiers. So we live our lives not with fear or dread, but with anticipation, with vigilance, and armed with spiritual weaponry, right? So in the reading, we heard that we have faith and love, and that's the breastplate, the metal that we put over our midsection where all our vital organs are. And with those are protected. And then we have the helmet, right? We have the helmet of hope. So we have faith, hope, and love, three things that Paul regularly writes about. And this protects our head. So we have our mind and our hearts are protected spiritually through the weaponry that is provided in God's word and through our faith. This last part is kind of interesting. As I was preparing earlier in the week, it says the answers for this are we are to encourage each other and to build each other up in Christian fellowship and love. As I was thinking and looking more into this, my initial way was, I think we do this, right? We shake hands with each other. We check, how are you doing kind of thing? And you're looking good. Or, you know, how are things going? That's one level. I think I've not been in this situation, but I have talked with people. If you're in a life or death situation, if you're in a proverbial foxhole, bullets flying around you, it's a different kind of encouragement and building up that you need, right? It's not easy to be in that kind of situation. It's, you know, your first thought is to get away from it, to run away. If you're a soldier, that's not an option, right? So when you're encouraging or building somebody up, you're realizing that you're there to protect them as well, and they're there to cover your back. So this is kind of what we look at. We have Christian fellowship together, right? We come together not just as a one-on-one kind of thing with God, but as a group. We have corporate prayer. We have corporate confession and absolution. We are a group of soldiers who live in faith for our benefit as each other, but also for the community that we serve. We go out into our community and live our faith. So as we look through all these things, and if we're consecrated, we're called to do this, we see that God has equipped us, right? We have our faith, we have God's word, we have his love, we have reinforcement, encouragement from each other, and this is what gets us through each week. We talk about military service, right? We have church service, and there's some similarities there. When we come to a church service, we come as a group, but we also come one-on-one. We receive service from God in terms of forgiveness through word, through sacrament. These things restore us. They re-energize us, get us ready for the week ahead. As we look at that, and especially during this week of Thanksgiving, we give thanks for all of that. We give thanks for each other. We continue to praise and raise each other up in prayer. So this week, as we look at it, I'm going to close with this last reading. This is the end of 1 Thessalonians 5. It says, "May God himself, the God of peace, sanctify you through and through. May your whole spirit, soul, and body be kept blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. The one who calls you is faithful, and he will do it." So we are called, we are consecrated, we heard in the children's message to keep Jesus close. And that's what we do as Christians, is we keep Jesus close, we fight the good fight, and we look forward to Jesus coming or our being united with him. Let's close with prayer. Gracious and Heavenly Father, we thank you for the gift of guidance, the reassurance that we have both through your word, through your love, and through each other. Lord, this week we ask that you would be with us as we reflect on all the blessings that we received, as we reflect on our opportunities and our successes, and also our challenges and our temptations. Lord, in all these things, we need you. We need you to be close. We need to look at our duty to you and to each other and treasure that. And Lord, we anticipate with joy the coming of your Son, or our being united with him in heaven, whichever comes first. Lord, build us up, encourage us, so we can encourage each other and take your encouragement out into the world of darkness and bring your light and your love to other people who so desperately need it. All this we pray in your most holy name. Amen.